This morning, I want to try to present a lesson that is on the positive side. It's the kind of lesson that I hope will show us the kind of life that we need to be living. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." I think all of us recognize the fact that we need models to follow. Every one of us are influenced by other people. We have other people in our lives who we allow to impact our lives. And certainly each one of us can make the choice as to who we're going to try to pattern our lives after. I want to challenge you this morning with the thought of really trying to pattern your life after Jesus Christ. We need to try to follow our Lord and the way that He lived. If we're not careful, sometimes we may find ourselves following someone who may ultimately lead us to eternal destruction rather than toward heaven. And yet today I want us to be challenged to direct our thoughts where we really endeavor to imitate the Son of God. And what a difference that's going to make in our lives. Jesus said that He gave His disciples an example that they should follow. He told them that they should do as He had done. Now, I realize on this particular occasion that the example that our Lord set was the right example. And yet we need to understand that our Lord, in every way He acted, in every way that He reacted, that's the example that we need to strive to emulate in our lives. And so Jesus Christ, by His example, actually gave us the pattern to follow. Now the Bible says in Romans 14 and verse 7, "For no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself." Every one of us are going to influence other people, and we're going to be influenced by other people. And therefore, we just need to make a conscious, diligent effort in living the Christian life to try to follow the right kind of an example. And that example that we need to follow is Jesus Christ. Now in 3 John chapter 1 verse 11, the Bible says, "Don't follow that which is evil, follow that which is good." And yet Paul is so very plain when he says, "I'm going to follow Jesus." Paul says, "I'm not going to follow the evil. I'm not going to follow an ungodly person. I'm going to endeavor to follow the Lord Jesus Christ." That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Jesus Christ." Now, could you make that statement today? Could you say, "You be a follower of me, as I endeavor to follow Jesus Christ"? I just think it would be a wonderful thing if every one of us could go to work tomorrow. School is right around the corner. It's going to begin in about 2 weeks. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in everything we do and everywhere that we go, that we could have the attitude, "You follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. If you'll just follow me in how I talk, in how I act, in the attitude that I possess, you follow me as I follow Christ." I really believe our lives would be much more spiritually centered. I really believe that we would be happier in living the Christian life if we could just open up the Word of God and consciously begin to pattern our lives after Jesus Christ. Now, Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. He said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Peter said the example that we ought to follow is Jesus Christ. We need to follow in his steps. Now, there is a certain coach in this state that emphasizes what is called the process. And I'm not naming the coach because that's not the point of what I'm trying to say here. But this coach says we're going to follow the process. You know, we're not focused on the end result. We're not focused on winning the championship. We're focused on what's going on right now, today. We want to be better today. We want to be stronger today. We want to play the next play like it's the last play that we'll ever play on this earth. His philosophy is don't practice it until you get it right. Practice it until you can't get it wrong. And I think there's an application for us today from that spiritually. Many times we think about the ultimate goal of heaven, and for us in this physical life, it seems so far away, doesn't it? But I believe we need to focus on the process of being like Jesus every day. That means tomorrow morning when you get up, you're focused on being like Jesus in everything that you do throughout the day. And it's only by focusing on that process that ultimately you'll be successful in achieving the ultimate goal of heaven. Because you see, if I'm not trying to be the best that I can be today, it's so easy for me to lose sight of what's really, really important. And so this morning, I want to suggest to you a few things regarding our Lord Jesus Christ and the example that he set and how our Lord is a pattern in every walk of life, in every activity of life. And that means every single day as we begin our routine, we need to focus on being like Jesus Christ. Certainly, we can by no means be exhaustive in how Christ is our perfect example, but I want to pick out just a few areas this morning wherein Christ is an example that we need to follow. May I suggest, first of all, this morning, that Christ is the example that we need to follow when it comes to practicing humility. You heard about the man that got a medal for being so humble, and then he had it taken away because he wore it everywhere he went? You know, I'm afraid that there's a general loss of the attitude of humility today among members of the body of Christ. And certainly that's a reflection of our culture, isn't it? It's a reflection of our society. Pride, self-pride, seems to rule the day. And I just really don't believe in this time in which we live that people have the kind of humility that existed a few years ago. If we're not really careful, we come to the point where we depend upon ourselves. And, you know, we really don't need the Lord all that much, do we? After all, we can buy anything we want to buy. We can do anything we want to do. We can go anywhere we want to go. You know, independence, self-independence, that seems to be the name of the game today. And I think we become somewhat proud of our accomplishments. And I think we ought to follow the Lord, though. You know, here Jesus was, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. He was the Son of Almighty God, and our Lord, in spite of that, always saw fit to be humble. Our Lord no doubt knew and understood that one of the attributes that pleased his Father more than any other was the attribute of being humble. There in John chapter 13 and verse 5, there at the Last Supper, the Lord really wanted to impress this idea upon His disciples. Now, they had already been talking about, arguing about, and grumbling about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. I mean, they were really going at it with one another. I think they're a lot like we are in some respects. You know, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? You know, they weren't saying, well, I'm more humble than you are, or I'm more humble than you are. No, they were arguing about who's going to have the greatest authority, the greatest position of authority. And our Lord Jesus Christ, without saying a word, He went over, He filled a basin with water, He took a towel, and He stunned those disciples. As He began to take that towel, and He washed the dirty feet of those disciples. I can't think of a more impressive way that our Lord could have taught a lesson on humility. If I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet. But you know, that was the furthest thing from their minds. They would never even consider belittling themselves by doing such a task. But the Lord was teaching those disciples the importance of being humble. You don't let any job be above your dignity. You serve one another in every way you possibly can. Jesus would even say in Luke 22 and verse 27, I am among you as one who serves. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. You see, the Lord wasn't on this earth to be served by other people. Instead, He was here to serve others. And I believe that's a lesson that we need today very greatly. We need to put away any boastful, arrogant, or haughty spirit or attitude. And if it be the case that we tend to glory in past accomplishments, if we tend to think about how good we are because of how much we've been blessed with, or how hard we've worked, and you know what we have obtained in this life, we need to realize we're just one heartbeat away from eternity. We are one breath away from leaving this world and everything in it. We need to endeavor to follow the example of our Lord when it comes to humility. Over in Philippians 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you. You have this mindset. What mindset, Paul? The mindset that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. You know, when the Lord had the power to call 10 legions of angels to rescue Him, just with the word of His mouth, our Lord could have been rescued from that awful suffering on the cross. It took a lot of humility for Him. It took a lot of submission for Him to give in. But our Lord was humble enough to do that. And the Lord always encouraged His followers to be humble. You know, sometimes we may be willing to do things for the Lord if there's going to be some honor or prestige, or maybe we'll be willing to do some things for the Lord if there's a commendation for that. But we need to be willing to do those things that nobody is ever going to know about. We need to be willing to do those things that will bring absolutely no honor as far as man is concerned and We need to humble ourselves before God and before men. And I submit to you that Jesus Christ is our perfect example when it comes to being humble. And if our Lord could be humble as great as He was, then I think we ought to be able to find it in ourselves to cultivate this trait as well. May I suggest in the next place, though, that we need to try to imitate the Son of God when it comes to the idea of praying to God. You know, prayer is such a powerful and wonderful blessing that many times we take for granted. Prayer is a way to get God to do things for us that we normally wouldn't do if we didn't pray. We've heard the saying before that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest of saints on his knees. Now, it just amazes me when I look at the gospel accounts and observe the emphasis that our Lord placed upon prayer. It would seem to me that if there's anybody that would not need to pray, it would be the Lord. You know, there He was. He's the very Son of God incarnate. And yet Jesus Christ is always finding time to pray. In Matthew 14 and verse 23, the Bible says, when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, He was there alone. Or in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out into a solitary place and there He prayed. Now, I personally enjoy, I love the very meaningful prayers that are prayed here on this podium. I appreciate those prayers very, very much. But I honestly believe that perhaps the most meaningful prayers that are ever prayed probably are never prayed through a PA system. But they're the kind of prayers that are prayed when one is by himself, when one is in a solitary place, or to pray the kind of prayer when, you know, it's us alone, it's between us and God. That's the kind of attitude we need to develop. And the Lord was concerned about prayer. He was concerned about His relationship with His Heavenly Father. And we ought to make a very special effort to spend time in prayer to God alone as Jesus did. In Luke 5 and verse 16, the Bible says He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. There again, He's alone in praying to God. In Luke 6 and verse 12, it came to pass in those days that He went up into a mountain to pray, and He continued all night in prayer to God. I'll be honest with you. I can't conceive of that. I've never been able to pray all night. Sometimes we may have trouble praying 10 minutes, right, without our minds getting distracted. But our Lord was so intense on pleasing His Father that He was able to continue all night in prayer to God. Now, folks, if we're going to follow the example of the Lord, it's not going to come naturally. Every one of us are going to have to put forth more conscious, diligent effort to spend time in prayer. And I think we need to ask our God to forgive us for not praying as we should. And we need to ask God to help us to pray more acceptably. You know, even there in the garden, our Lord being in great agony, the Bible says He prayed more earnestly, Luke 22 and verse 44, and His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. In a time of great crisis, our Lord was willing to pray. Even there on the cross, our Lord prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I wonder how many of us would have cursed those that were causing us such great pain and excruciating suffering. And yet, the Lord prayed for those that were taking His life. I think we need to follow the example of our Lord when it comes to prayer. Jesus said, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Our Lord was one who was humble. He was one who prayed. But let me suggest also today that I think our Lord has given us an example to follow when it comes to the kind of speech that we use. Now, if anybody ever had the right to curse and to say things that they shouldn't say, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 37, let your communication be yes, yes, and no, no, for whatever is more than these comes of evil. Jesus made it very clear here. You haven't got to go out here and swear to uphold the word that you've spoken. You be a truthful individual. You always speak the truth, and therefore you let your word be your bond. And that's why we need to think about the Lord being our example in regard to speech. You know, our speech reveals who we are. Foul language uncovers an impure heart. And that's something we need to be keenly aware of. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew 12 and verse 34. The Lord went on to say, however, that we will also be judged by every idle word we speak. He said, I tell you on the day of judgment that people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Now, the word translated careless here in the English Standard Version means unprofitable. It means hollow. An idle word is a non-working word. It's an inoperative word. It has no legitimate work, no office, no business, but it's morally useless and unprofitable. But Jesus here did not refer to what people generally think of as idle talk. Our Lord is referring to speech that is malicious, harmful, slanderous. Such worthless words cannot produce any good at all, and one day they're going to be brought to judgment. An individual's words one day will result in that individual being lost or saved. In the court of God, among other things, our words are going to be the basis of judgment. And I believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that people know who you are and what you are by the way that you use your tongue. And so let's follow the Lord's example when it comes to our speech, the way we talk, the way we communicate. Another way, though, that I think that the Lord is our example that we need to follow is when it comes to the idea of patience. Now, if you want to know what patience is or what it is not, maybe you ought to drive down Atlanta Highway Monday through Friday between 4:30 and 6 o'clock. And I know as I look at my own life, if there's anything that I need more of, it's patience. You just think about everyday things that come up. I don't use drive-thrus. I never have. I don't like drive-thrus. If you're driving, I may be forced to, but I never go through drive-thrus. I don't have the patience for it. I always park my car and go inside and order my food and take it out. And 95% of the time, I'm faster than the ones going through the drive-thru. So you can just think about that too. I just don't have any patience when it comes to that. Or what about maybe when you're in line at Walmart sometimes and the lines are long and there's only two cashiers? You know, smoke can be seen coming out your ears, can't it? You're waiting all this time in line, and you're waiting and you're waiting. Or when you go out to eat somewhere, now, I'll be honest with you, I'm a heavy drinker. I want refills, lots of refills. I get my money's worth with what they charge, you know, for tea or Cokes or whatever. And sometimes I catch myself being somewhat impatient when maybe the refill doesn't come as quickly as I think it ought to come. And so I see myself on many occasions as being a very impatient person. But that's something that we need to strive to work on. But even more importantly than those kinds of things, we need to be more patient with our friends, our loved ones, our brethren. And folks, there would be a lot less criticism. There'd be a whole lot less negativity in the church today if we would learn to be more patient one with another. In an assembly this size, we have people of all varying kinds of spiritual maturity. Some people aren't mature as others spiritually, but therefore that means we need to be patient with one another. We need to be helpful of one another. We need to be more understanding when people do some things sometimes that maybe we can't really understand. And that's hard for us to do. Someone has said that patience is idling your motor when you feel like stripping your gear. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, isn't it? Patience is something that we have to learn. Now notice what the Bible says about Jesus. The Bible says about our Lord in 1 Peter 2 and verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judgeth righteously. Isaiah said in prophecy about our Lord in chapter 53 and verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. As a lamb is brought to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. How patient Jesus Christ must have been. I could have never done that. That's why the Lord said in Luke 21 and verse 19, in your patience, possess ye your souls. And how many times do we get all worked up in a frenzy? We don't have patience with our loved ones, our friends, our brethren in Christ. If things aren't done exactly like we want them done, we get all excited. We get all upset about that. The Lord set an example when it comes to patience that we need to follow. But you know, a lesson like this really isn't going to do any good at all unless we leave this building and resolve to try to put it into practice in our lives. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 36, for ye have need of patience. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, let us run with patience the race set before us. There again is the process of trying to be like Jesus every single day. We have to be patient with ourselves, don't we? We make mistakes. We fall short. We have to be patient with other people as they endeavor to be like Jesus. But we run the Christian race every day patiently, trying to be like our Lord. And we need to follow the example of Jesus when it comes to patience. But then quickly, I want to suggest to you that Jesus is our perfect example when it comes to standing against Satan. When it comes to standing up against the one that would cause us to be destroyed. And I don't know of any person that we could follow who was more effective in combating Satan than was Jesus Christ. And Satan was continually trying to gain control in the life of our Lord. You recall how our Lord had been that in the wilderness for 40 days. He had been fasting. And it just seems like that Satan always came to the Lord at his very weakest moment. And on every occasion, when Satan came to tempt our Lord, he would reply, "It is written." With every temptation our Lord endured, he relied on the power of the Word of God to overcome it. And brethren, I believe that's a lesson we need to learn. The Lord used the Word of God to defeat Satan. That's why David said long ago, "Your Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against you." I believe if every one of us here this morning would set aside some time every day that we study and meditate upon God's Word, we would be much more effective in battling and overcoming the temptations of Satan. Our Lord was filled with the Word of God. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly," Colossians 3 and verse 16. And so as we think about battling Satan and his temptations, we need to follow the Lord's example. But I want to close very briefly by mentioning that Jesus is the example that we need to follow when it comes to obedience. Now you think about him being the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and yet he was one that was willing to always obey his Father. He was willing to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And sometimes it's difficult for us to do that, isn't it? It's difficult for us to do things God's way because he's God. He's the Creator. I think about how our Lord was one that was willing to submit to baptism, though he had no sin. In Matthew 3 and verse 13, "Then comes Jesus from Galilee unto Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. But the Bible says John forbade him, saying, 'I need to be baptized of you, and you come to me.' Jesus said to him, 'Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him." Now you may be one here this morning who's never been baptized into Jesus Christ. You may say, "Well, I just really can't understand why I need to be. I don't see any need for it." Well, the Lord saw a need for it. He journeyed all the way from Galilee under the Jordan. He traveled many miles to be baptized into Christ. And may I suggest that that's exactly what needs to be done by everyone who's outside the body of Christ here today. You need to realize if you're outside of Christ, in order to become a Christian, your faith must become active to the point where you're willing to repent of your sins, where you're willing to confess His name, that He is the Son of God, and then submit to baptism, immersion in water. You emulate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And you become a New Testament Christian. You may be here this morning and you've done that once, but you've not been trying to follow the example of Jesus. Maybe you've been selfish and self-centered, or you become sidetracked by other things in life. Maybe you need to come today acknowledging the needs that you have to change and to be more willing to follow the Lord in the future than you have
in the past. Are you a member of the New Testament church? Are you faithfully serving Jesus Christ? If not, I submit to you today that you need to humble yourselves like our Lord did and make those changes if they need to be made. If you have a need this morning, you need to respond to heaven's call, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.